Good morning. Good to be in God's house today, isn't it? We're thankful for the privilege that He's given to us. On behalf of Brother Ronald, as he said, and the church today, we welcome each one to our services today, and we trust that each one of us just be here to set our affections on things above for a few moments and to worship God in spirit and in truth. You know, as we come this morning, we're embarking on a week of universal importance to the world, isn't it? That Jesus Christ went to the cross and that He died for all mankind. And I believe that today. I believe today that Jesus paid the sin debt, not only for my need, but yea, for the sins of the entire world, every man. And it is of special importance to the Christian as we realize what our Savior paid for us on the little cross. Next Sunday, Lord willing, if He does not come, it will be Easter. A momentous occasion where that we're happy and glad that Jesus rose from the grave. But yet, as we think of Easter, we note that there had to be suffering. And today we're going to be speaking to you concerning the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I can say, as I begin the message today, probably all men, I would say, intend to go to heaven. I don't know of anyone that I've ever spoken to that did not intend to go to heaven at the end of their life or in their life. And for us to go to heaven, we have to know about the cross and we have to go by the way of the cross. Truly, it's the way of the cross that leads home today. And I'm going to be reading today from the Gospel of John, chapter 19. Each gospel covers the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're going to be looking at the Gospel of John, chapter 19, as it's recorded of the sentence that Pilate had passed upon Jesus for Him to be committed to death through the cross and the crucifixion. We begin reading today from verse 12 of John, chapter 19. And then from henceforth Pilate sought to release Him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour. And we'll be speaking, by the way, this afternoon of some events occurring at the Passover. And I encourage you to come this afternoon as we'll be speaking concerning that. But it says, the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, he said unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he them therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side, one Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. You know, as we come to the cross of Christ, the death of our Savior, we know that from the Scriptures there's an exactness concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and His death. In other words, today, the death of Jesus Christ was no accident. You know, we often say many things because it sounds good. And I was reading a statement this week from a book that I was reading and concerning the death of Christ. And it was mentioned that Jesus Christ spilt His blood on the cross of Calvary. You know, I guess the word spilt sounds good. But we know that's not what happened, did it? When you spill something, you are referring to an accident that you had not planned that it occurred. Jesus Christ offered His blood freely on Calvary. It was no accident. As a matter of fact, as you study the Scriptures, you find there is an acute exactness concerning the death of Christ. Let me share with you in the book of Galatians chapter 4 a statement made by the Apostle Paul concerning the life and the entry of our Lord Jesus Christ and really as what His purpose was. The Bible says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that He might redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." When the fullness of time was come. And as you look at that statement, fullness, when the time had built up unto that hour. Now, I read in the Bible that God says, "I am faithful that promised." And you begin to look at the fullness of time, and you can see the faithfulness of God in the promise of sending His Son and the promise of Jesus going to that cross. Let me just take you on a time span concerning the promise and the fullness of the hour that had come. In the book of Genesis chapter 3, 5,000 years previous to the time that Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, God made a statement in verse 15. He said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman," talking to the serpent. And in that enmity, He says, "Listen, thou shalt bruise his head, it shall bruise thy heel." And we know that the heel of our Lord Jesus Christ was bruised when He went to the cross of Calvary. Therefore, God making the promise that the cross was coming, that Jesus would go to that cross and Satan would bruise the heel of our Savior. And that was 5,000 years before the hour actually came. In the book of Genesis chapter 22 and verse 8, some 1,500 years before the cross had came, we find that Abraham took his son Isaac, and he had taken his son Isaac to the ridge of the Mount of Moriah. And there the Bible says that God had asked Abraham to offer his son Isaac as an offering unto God. And as they were traveling and going up the mountain, the question came from Isaac. "Here is the wood. We have the things necessary. Where is the lamb? Where is the sacrifice for the offering?" And Abraham's statement to his son Isaac was, "God shall provide a lamb. God shall provide a sacrifice for that lamb." What was happening? We're moving to the fullness of that hour. Also, we find in the Scripture, in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, you'll find that sometime later, at least 1,000 years before that date, the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, being bitten by serpents and facing physical death. And you'll find that God commanded Moses to do what? To take a serpent, put it upon a pole, and those that went by and looked by faith in that serpent upon that pole could experience life. They could live. Jesus made the statement in John 3, as Moses was lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. What's happening? God is faithful that promised. Sometime later, we find the psalmist prophesied concerning how that the Savior would suffer in Psalm 22. He would be the good shepherd that gave His life for the sheep. And he explained in detail the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ that we'll note just in a moment. But then there was Isaiah some 700 years before the hour of the cross that he said he would be bruised. And the Bible says that God would lay upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. He is led as a lamb to the slaughter, yet like as a sheep dumb, He opened not His mouth. And then the close of that prophecy came in the Old Testament in Daniel chapter 9 in the 5th century. When in Daniel chapter 9 in verse 26, Daniel was inspired to pen these words, "Then Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself, but for the people." God is faithful that promised. And what do we see? God is fulfilling time as that promise will come to fruition. John the Baptist stood as Jesus approached him. And we find that John the Baptist said in verse 29 of John chapter 1, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Then Jesus made this statement, if you look as the Bible says, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee." Why am I telling you this morning? I'm telling you that the death of Jesus Christ was no accident. You will find that it was actually planned by God the Father. Listen what He says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 23. "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God." What did He say? "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God." Wednesday night, we talked about the Lordship of Christ. And that Lordship means simply God is in control. He is sovereign. God knows all things from the beginning to the end. As a matter of fact, with God, it's a moment of now. It is always now with God. And we find in the Scripture that there was a covenant made even before God ever created man. Hebrews chapter 20. And what's He saying? He's in Hebrews 13. He talks about a covenant that was made. And that was a covenant of redemption that God entered into in with His Son. And yea, with the Holy Spirit. And so we find this morning that God prophesied that His Son would come and give His life for the sins of all humanity. Isaiah 53. Daniel 96 told of that prophecy. Jesus made this statement in John 12:27 as He talked with His disciples. He said, "Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say?" He said, "I say, Father, save me from this hour." But now note, "For this hour came, I came unto this hour." So we find the fullness of time came to fruition. As He was born of a virgin, lived some 33 years upon this earth, yet for that hour was He born. Yet for that hour He lived. And now the hour's come that Christ gave His life on the cross of Calvary for our sins. I believe I can say truthfully today that when we stand around Calvary, listen, we're on holy ground. Because it was that ground that our Lord shed His blood for us on that cross. So the cross of Christ. Let me give you some familiar things concerning the cross of Christ. Turn to Matthew chapter 27 and note with me verse 22. You see, this morning there was a person who died on that cross that is very important. There have been many or had many Roman crosses that many men died upon. But this morning, the cross that bore Christ had a very special person hanging upon it. The Bible says in verse 22 of Matthew 27, "Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" Notice, Jesus. He is known as Hosea in the Old Testament. He is even known as Joshua in the Old Testament. He is identified as Jesus, the Savior, who shall save His people from their sins. And now note this statement, Christ, the Anointed One. And the Bible says, "They all say unto Him, Let Him be crucified." So we find as He hang on that cross, that it was Jesus Christ, the Bible specifically says, was on that cross. Now folks, listen, the cross itself has no power without the person who died on the cross. Someone says, believe on the cross. Yes, believe on the person who died on the cross. I want you to note this morning, first of all, and Brother Rick said, this is coming off. We're just going to hang it this morning. Amen. This little mic. I'm the world's worst with a mic. But you just bear with me this morning. Look what it says concerning Jesus in Matthew 27, verse 54. And listen as the Bible identifies Him as Jesus, the Son of God. The Bible says, when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things were done, they feared greatly, saying truly, now note this statement, this was the Son of God. You see, that one which hang on the cross is referred to and is known as the Son of God. I looked and I thought, many sons of many different fathers hang on those crosses. As a matter of fact, two men hang outside the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were a son of a mother and a father. But I believe today that Jesus had a special father, don't you? I believe that Jesus was the Son of the living God. Folk, I'll tell you something. That makes Him very important, doesn't it? He is the Son of God. Listen what the Bible says if you'll turn to 1 John chapter 4. Listen what it says to us in verse 9 and 10 of 1 John chapter 4. And He speaks concerning the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son in the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. My, this morning, you just think of the Lamb that had been slain in the Passover. Think of the Lamb that had been slain to deliver the children of Israel from that Egyptian bondage. He was the firstborn. He was that special one that would come from the flock. The Bible says Jesus is the firstborn and only born of God. And today, folk, listen. God gave Him Himself. God gave Him Himself as He gave His only begotten Son on that old cruel cross. So let it be no mistake of who was dying on that cross. It was the Son of God. You know, I believe the Bible teaches us today, he that believeth and confesses that Jesus is the Christ, that He is the Son of God, is born of God. I submit to you the importance of the person who died on that cross. This morning, if it had been Danny Stanford dying on the cross, it would have done no good. If it had been someone like Paul, who was a great Christian, dying on the cross, it would have been no good. But it was not them. It was the Son of God, deity, dying for us. But then you'll find something else this morning. The Bible says that He was a sinless one. Look at the statement found in Matthew 27 and verse 24. Listen to what it says. Pilate said, as he said to the people, I am innocent of the blood of what? This just person. He was no murderer. He was no criminal. As a matter of fact, he was completely innocent. In the statement made just before in verse 19 of Matthew 27, this was a just man. You know, I found in studying this week that the Israelites, they would take their lamb and they would take it out from among the flock and they would put it up some 3 days and they would look at that lamb very carefully and they would look at it, inspecting it, that it had no flaw, that it had no blemish. You just think, for some 33 years, specifically 3 years, Jesus was watched more than any other man on this earth. He was looked at. He was scrutinized more than any other person on this earth. And yet Jesus made the statement, which of you can convince me of sin? I could look in this building today, and even the best of us, we would have to raise our hand and say, I am guilty of sin. But here Jesus Christ is the sinless one. He is dying not for Himself. I remember again the words of Daniel
Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Wonder why Daniel made that statement? Daniel made it because he recognized that he was not only the Son of God, but he was the sinless one. It was the just suffering for the unjust on that cross. And you'll find something else. You'll find not only the sinless Son of Man, but you'll find the Savior suffering for us. Turn in your Bible back to John chapter 22. I got up this morning and I told Francis, I said, you know, it seems like I've been run over by a truck. Seems like that somebody has just beaten me up last night. These old aches and pains that you have in this body. And my, you look about and we get to feeling bad sometimes. But you know, I thought about this morning. We have never experienced the pain. We have never experienced the suffering that Jesus suffered on that cross. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 22 about the suffering of our Savior. He makes this statement, and I'm going to begin reading at verse, I believe, 14. It says, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them. They cast lots upon my vesture. My, the psalmist had a very detailed look at the sufferings that was coming to our Lord and Savior on the cross. I know not how, but I am told that in those moments on the cross, in those hours on the cross, was distilled upon Jesus Christ all the suffering for sins on that old cross. And the Bible says Christ has once suffered. By today, look at those that are suffering diseases. Look at those who are suffering heartache and sorrow. My, today, can you just imagine? Can you just imagine what Christ was experiencing as He died the death of all deaths on that cross? Even what He had experienced even before He went to the cross. My, listen today. The love of Christ compels us. What is that love? That Jesus suffered for us. You know, this morning, folk, we can stand here and we can say, nobody cares for me. But that statement is untrue. Somebody cares for you. How do you know they care for you? You just look at the cross and you just begin to examine the suffering that was poured out in the body, in the soul, in the emotions of our Lord upon that cross. And yea, somebody cares for you, and that someone is the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, even those that are around Him, even those few that heard the words that spoke from the cross, they knew that Jesus was the Son of God. They realized that He was the sinless one. And they realized that He was suffering so intently on the cross of Calvary. The person on that cross, it is that person who saves. It is that person who extended His life. And then we come to another thing concerning the cross. We find the place where the cross took place. We find the place. You know, the Bible teaches us in verse 33 of Matthew chapter 27. It says, outside the Damascus gate, it says a place called Golgotha. It says the place of the skull. And it begins to identify the place where the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. I say again, the death, the person, the place, and yea, the time that Jesus was crucified had an exactness to it. And as you begin to read and to study, you'll find that that place, physically, was on a ridge of a mountain called Mount Moriah. And as you study that, and as I see Jesus as He comes out to Damascus Gate, And he comes outside the city, old city of Jerusalem. And they come to this place. And I submit to you this morning that it's the very place where that Abraham said to his son, God shall provide for thee an offering. God shall provide a substitute. You know, a wonderful truth is taught. There we find in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4, Abel slew an animal, a flock, one of his flock, and he offered that as an offering unto God. And he offered it for himself. And God had acceptance. God was satisfied with his offering. And then we come to the book of Genesis 22. Abraham took his son, and he took his son and offered him, and there was going to offer him as a sacrifice. I go to the book of Exodus chapter 12, and I find another sacrifice. When the children of Israel took that sacrificial lamb, shed its blood, took its blood, and then posted it upon the doorpost, that the death angel would not touch the firstborn in their house. That was the sacrifice for a household. And then we come in the book of Leviticus chapter 16, and you find verse 17, where that they would took the sacrificial animal again, not only apply it to the household, but the Bible says for the congregation of Israel, for a whole nation. But we find here on the cross of Calvary, when Jesus went to that hill, when Jesus went to Moriah, listen, it was more than just for an individual. It was more than just for a house, more than just for a nation. It was for the whole world. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. My, the universalists in that death. There are many saying today, and folk, you listen, I realize today that there is a doctrine of what goes around today, and it's called as many times we look, and therefore this doctrine is fivefold. They say, I believe in the total depravity of man. I do. I believe there is nothing good in man whatsoever that he could save himself. Someone says, I believe in the grace of God. The grace of God is connected with the depravity of man. No way man could save himself if there's nothing good that God would have to accept that sacrifice. We're totally saved of the grace of God. I believe what Brother Donald said this morning, that when God saves us, there's that blessed assurance that what God saves is eternally secure and it's safe in the Lord Jesus Christ and His work. But there's two things that I do not agree with. I do not believe in limited atonement. I believe Jesus died for the Jew. I believe He died for the Gentile. I believe He tastes death for every man. And that death was for Gentile and Jews alike on that old cross. It was for all mankind. And I do not believe in irresistible grace. I believe God extends the call to all of us. And that extension is through the Holy Spirit. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. When Jesus died on that cross, at the place He offered Himself a sacrifice for the entire world, what Adam failed, He said, I come and I take what Adam failed to give it back. And it's given back in the Lord Jesus Christ. You look at not only the place, but you look this morning at the purpose. What was His purpose? His purpose was to finish a work of redemption. How many lambs had been slain? How much blood had been shed over the years? But by one offering, He hath come to perfect those that are sanctified. One offering. He said, Father, it is finished. What was finished? The work of redemption. A law was satisfied when He died on Calvary. My, listen, He satisfied the moral law in His life. And He did. Every requirement the law required, He satisfied that moral law in His physical life. When He died on Calvary, you listen, He satisfied the ceremonial and judicial part of the law, blotting out the ordinance of handwriting that was against us, taking them out of the way, nailing it to His cross.
My, what do you see? You see, listen, God fulfilling His purpose in His Son. Then you note the people for whom Christ died. So I searched, and you look around that cross. You find people from different cultures. You find people from different backgrounds. Jews, Gentiles alike. But you know, you begin to search deeper, and you know what else you find? Thieves. Murderers. You find all alike around that cross. But you know what? I find that Jesus is dying for them on that cross. My, today, He died for Barabbas, who was set free in His place. He died for those two thieves. Even one rejected Him. He died for those two thieves that were on that cross beside Him. All people were included in His death on the cross. You know, today we can stand and we can say, I have no part in that cross. I have no part in that cross. But you know, folk, we do have a part, don't we? We do have a part. You say, what do you mean? Our sins took Him to that cross. My sin took Him to that cross. So you see, this morning I do have a part. Even though I didn't say, crucify Him, my sin took Him to that cross. We can't stand back and say, I'm not guilty. Because we are guilty. We're sinners. And we're the people that Jesus was dying for on that old cross. You know, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I understand that so much more clearly in my life today. You say, why? There was a time in my life that the Word of God was preached, and I knew I was a sinner. At that time the Word was preached, God brought me under conviction. You say, Brother Danny, what did He do? He laid the guilt of sin upon my heart. And you listen, I was so burdened and I was so ashamed. But you know, in that guilt too was that I had a part in putting Jesus on that cross. Guilty. But isn't it wonderful today, folk, that Jesus has made peace on that cross? And through what He did on that cross, I was so guilty of my sin because it hurt God and it was rejecting God. God the Father could come down to me, and through what He did on that cross, He not only brought peace, but He brought peace in my heart. I had to say I was guilty. And tonight, today, folk, listen, we all stand guilty. Guilty. I think of what Pilate said, hand me a basin that I might wash the blood from my hands. Impossible to do unless we ask God for forgiveness of our sin, and looking at that cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light. And I can say truly this morning, when we're willing to come to the cross, and we're willing to admit to God, Lord, I'm a sinner, I'm guilty of sin in my life and what I've done to You. And Lord, I trust, I yield and trust to what You have done for me on that old cross, that there will be peace that's been made in your heart with what Christ did on that old cross. I want to say again, no one has ever loved you like Jesus. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, Danny Stanford did much in this old world. And I dare say there wouldn't be anybody that would care enough for Danny Stanford to die for him. But you know, Jesus did. He cared enough to die for me. So He has you today. And this morning, folk, I want to reiterate. If we're going to go to heaven, we're going to have to go by the way of the cross. Don't you ever let the devil deceive and fool you that you can go to heaven any way except by the cross. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And it's through that death, burial, and resurrection that we can have life today. I ask you this morning, has there ever been a time that God the Holy Spirit has showed you that guilt of sin? You were so burdened in your life. Oh, so burdened. Guilt all around you. Everybody looking at you, and you knew God was looking at you. And oh, help was needed. And you went to the cross. You went there where Jesus died for you through the message of that cross that was preached to you. And you ask Him, Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. Trusting in your heart as you believe what He did for you on that cross. If not, I would urge you today to consider receiving the person who died on that cross for you today. How the peace of God should have brought in your heart today. I ask you to stand today. Our Father and our God, I thank you for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I thank you for Him being willing to bear that cross. Lord, the spotless and sinless Son of God, bearing such shame and reproach of my sin upon that cross. Father, I thank you for loving me and yea, loving each one here in this building this morning enough to go to that cross and bear our sin debt. Lord, it blesses our heart to see how that so exact was you, that you're a God of order. And so exact was you in the death, in the place of that cross. And Lord, that you included all people when your Son went to that cross. Today we have our social circles. We have our friends who we go in and out with. But Lord, you included everybody in the circle of love when you gave your life on that cross. Help me be reminded of that as I look and see the multitudes without you today. Have your willing way in this invitation, for we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.